John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And now we're going to hear from chapter 6, verses 25 to 29. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You were looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent."
Good evening, 5 p.m. How are we going? Good. It's good to see you here. I'm excited about a new album. I'm excited to be at church every week, but I'm excited that we get to hear about another awesome sign that Jesus does. If you've got the card with you, make sure you know where it is. We'll go to it a bit later in the service. Now, I was wondering if you've ever wanted something so bad that you would do anything to make it happen. Maybe your favorite band is coming to Sydney and you want to go, you want to make sure you get a ticket. So you set yourself up. You've got your phone, your tablet, your desktop, your laptop. So as soon as the hour strikes, you can make sure you get those tickets. Maybe you're at school and there's a boy. There's a girl, and they are so attractive, and you want to do anything to make them yours, so you're nice to them, you tell jokes to them, you even buy them things from the school canteen. This is really serious. You want to do anything to make them yours. Or maybe you've tried the new shapes that have come out, caused a bit of a stir around our parts, and you miss the old ones so bad. And so, like our young adults minister, Josh, who was just up earlier, you go and buy 48 packets of the original cheddar shapes. He wanted them so badly, he would do anything to make them happen. Now, a while ago, I came across a story where some people wanted to watch a game of soccer so bad that they did anything to make it happen. You see, in Africa, there was a huge game between Nigeria and Egypt. And people wanted to see this so bad that there were 40,000 people that crammed into a 25,000-seat stadium. This is what happened, right? You got people climbing up on scaffolding, you got people on the scoreboard, you even have some people who've trekked it all the way up that floodlight. Right? This is crazy. Now, I'm led to believe no one was injured, everyone got out safely somehow. We talk about signs in John's Gospel. I don't know if that's a modern-day sign of God's goodness, but that's incredible. They wanted to watch it so bad that they did anything to make it happen. But I don't need to be the one that tells you that the things we want in life don't always happen. And so when you want something so bad that you'll do anything to make it happen, but it doesn't, what do you do? Now, to this point, I've got to admit that I've got a condition. It's quite a severe condition that has plagued a lot of my life, that has pervaded much of my existence. It's a condition called white line fever. Now, if you don't know what white line fever is, it is the phenomenon one experiences when they cross the white line and enter the field of sports play. Now, this is really severe. Symptoms include a radical transformation in one's behavior, extreme competitiveness, and a win-at-all-cost mentality that will not stand for losing. I've got a pretty severe condition of this, and as I speak to you, I do note that there's a white line on the edge of this stage here, so just be careful. Now, my white line fever is so bad that it extends not just to physical sport, but to interactive sport. Specifically, an incredible video game called FIFA. Now, if you don't know what FIFA is, firstly, it's the most incredible video game that's ever been created. But secondly, I guess to describe it, I don't know, it doesn't feel like I'm doing it justice to say it like this, but I guess you'd say it's just a soccer game. But it's really important. Like, this is a really good game, it means a lot to me, but it's just a soccer game. And so last year, I was hanging out with a bunch of mates, and we were having a bit of a FIFA night and having lots of fun, playing some good games. I was my usual competitive self, and I came up against one of my friends. He'd been playing pretty well tonight, and I wanted to beat him. I wanted to put him in his place to show him, come on, man, I'm the real FIFA champion. And so we started the game, and it was going pretty well. I got a goal up, but then as the game went on, the worst nightmare of all FIFA players happened. My friend scored a winning goal in the last seconds of the game. Now, I was furious. I was so angry. I thought, this is ridiculous. I've been all over him. I've been smashing him. And one fluky goal and he wins. And it was at that point that I reacted in a certain way. See, I was sitting on a couch, and when that last goal went in, my right hand connected with the couch in a manner that was slightly more forceful than checking its structural integrity. I smashed it. And to make matters worse, my hand found its way between two cushions and connected with the wooden frame underneath this lounge. Now, it was at the point that I couldn't raise my hand any further than there that I realized I was in a bit of trouble. Something had gone wrong. And sure enough, after never breaking a bone in my life, I found out from the doctors that I had a broken hand. And to this day, the only broken bone I've ever had in my life was the result of a game of FIFA. I wanted to win more than anything else. I wanted to beat my friend, put him in his place, and show him who was boss. And when it didn't happen, I couldn't handle it. I wanted the win, I wanted the success, I wanted the glory more than anything else. And when it didn't happen, I just couldn't handle it. Because all of us have things in our life that we want so badly that we will do anything to make them happen. And I don't know if you've thought about this before, but each of us has one of those things. For you, it could be hunger. Hunger for success, or for power, or for love, or for comfort. So I want you to think, what do you hunger for? What do you live for? What if you lost it would make life not worth living? Because each of us is hungry for things that will give us purpose and meaning in life. Maybe it could be success. You want that leadership position at school more than anything else. It could be power. Climbing the corporate ladder, trying to get as high as you can so everyone else is at your feet. It could be love. You want a boyfriend or a girlfriend more than anything else, thinking that'll solve all the problems you've got. It could be acceptance.
You want people's approval and acceptance more than anything else. So in everything you do, from how you dress to what you post on social media, is geared towards getting that acceptance you so desperately crave. Or it could even be comfort. Building up material possessions and things that you think will make life comfortable and easy and not cause you to have any troubles. But have you noticed? Have you noticed that no matter how hard you chase after these things, no matter how much you want them, they never fully satisfy? They never fully satisfy. And they're so uncertain. I mean, you could have all the power and money in the world, but you could lose it in an instant for reasons out of your control. Someone could spread a vicious rumor about you, and all of a sudden everyone stops loving and accepting you for reasons you can't explain. They are so uncertain, they leave you wanting for more. They never satisfy. But what if there was a way that your deepest hunger could truly be satisfied? What if there was a way that your deepest needs could be met? Not just in this life, but forever. Tonight we're looking at another one of the signs that Jesus performs, the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus satisfies the deep hungers of the crowd and where he shows he can satisfy the deep hungers of your life. Not something you have to work for, but something that's free. Not something that doesn't last, but something for eternity. And so I wonder, would you be interested in hearing about how Jesus can meet all of your needs? Well, let's look at our passage that was read out earlier. And we start in verse 1, which says, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do." Now, by this point in Jesus' story, he's gotten a bit of a following, right? People have heard about this new teacher, this new kind of magician that's performing all these cool things like healing the sick, and they want to see him. They want to come after him. And so this great crowd gathers. And Jesus has some crazy idea that they should feed everyone. It seems crazy. I mean, there's a huge crowd coming, and so he asks, you know, where should we get bread? Where's the local corner shop? You think, come on, Jesus, what are you talking about? But it tells us that he asked this only to test the disciples, for he already had a plan. And so our passage goes on. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. You see, Jesus' disciples are like, are you kidding me? 8 months' worth of pay wouldn't be enough just to everyone to have a little nibble. What are you talking about? And then Andrew finds this boy, and it seems like things are getting pretty desperate. You see, this boy has 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish in a basket. Now, we find out in Mark's account of this incident that this is happening near the end of the day. It's almost dinner time. And so it's probable that this boy is taking home his dinner for his family. And not just any family, but a poor family. You see, he's only got 5 small loaves, loaves that are probably the size of a bread roll today. And they're barley, right? Barley was the cheap stuff. It was the Aldi bread. It was the bread that people who couldn't afford Baker's Delight and Brumbies and all that sort of thing, they went for the barley bread. And so he's got five small barley loaves and two small fish, probably the size of a sardine. And they grab him and say, you know what? Maybe we could use this to feed the 5,000 men. Hold on a minute. 5,000 men. You see, our passage doesn't mention how many women and children could have been there too. In fact, most scholars seem to think that there was probably 10 to 20,000 people there, women, men, and children included. I mean, to get our head around this, imagine going down to Parramatta Stadium to watch a packed house, 20,000 fans watching a Wanderers game. Now, I know there's a team that plays there in the off-season of the A-League, but do they have any fans anymore? I don't know. No points, no fans, I don't know. Anyway, 20,000 people, and you rock up with this little basket and think, you know what? I reckon this might feed everyone. Let's give it a go. Let's see what happens. It's crazy. It's completely ludicrous. And so you can understand why the disciples are so outraged. But Jesus gets the people to sit down, and then something incredible happens. You see, verses 11 to 13 say, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus distributes the food and everyone gets to eat. And he doesn't just say, you know, you can only have one fish roll each. No, he lets them have as much as they want. And so you can imagine, people are stuffing their faces, getting their dinner, their dessert, their supper all in one. They think, you know what, tomorrow we might need food, so they're putting some away for then. They think, oh, my mate Jim's not here, so I'll take some for him. Right? They're stuffing themselves, they're taking as much as they can, they're all lugging all this bread home. Because Jesus doesn't say you can only have one roll, but he provides more than enough. He completely satisfies their hunger, he completely meets their every need. He freely gives to the people. And notice verse 13 tells us that there are 12 baskets of bread left over. There is more left over at the end than the 5 loaves that Jesus started with. It's incredible. So Jesus performs this sign, but what does it mean? What are we meant to make of it? Well, if we go on in the passage, we find out there's two things we need to learn. Firstly, there's a wrong way to respond to Jesus. And secondly, there is a right way to respond to Jesus. Firstly, there's a wrong way. If we keep going, it says, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So the people see what Jesus did and they immediately want to make him king. And that's why earlier in verse 4 we found out it was the Passover festival. This was a huge deal for the Jews, where they remembered the mighty things God had done in the past and looked forward to the mighty things he'd do in the future. They expected a king to come, and so they see Jesus and they think, this is it. This is our guy. Life will be great. He'll give us everything we want. It'll all be sweet. And maybe you think the same thing too. Maybe you look at Jesus and you think, you know what? He looks pretty cool. He'll get me what I want. He'll make life easy and it'll all be good. I mean, it's like you treat him as a vending machine. You put him in the corner of your life and turn to whenever you want something. You know, in you put a little prayer, out comes whatever you want. It seems great, right? But this completely misses the point. Because Jesus came not to meet your material needs. Jesus came to meet your spiritual needs. And so we read later on They find Jesus on the other side of the lake and they ask him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." See, by this stage, they've followed Jesus to the other side of the lake. But the only reason they're following him is because they had their fill. Their stomachs were full. They've come back for more. But Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. You see, the people are so focused on Jesus meeting what they want here and now that they completely miss the point. And maybe you're doing the same thing too. Maybe you're spending your whole life working for things of this earth that never satisfy, that don't last, things that spoil and perish and fade. It could be money, comfort, success, power, love, anything that you are putting as the number one ultimate thing in your life. You want the career, so you're working as hard as you can to work your way up and set yourself up and get all the riches you can. You want the good marks at school, so you're studying and studying and studying to get the good marks that will set your life up and give you a good future. You want people to love you so much that in everything you do, from the way you dress to what you post, from the way you talk, everything is geared to getting that acceptance from others. The problem is when we spend so much time working for things of this world that never satisfy. Because they never will. Because even when you think your hunger is satisfied, it really just leaves you hungry for more. Has anyone ever won a sports premiership here before? Or ever come first in something? I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have. You know how good it feels. You know that feeling of success when you've worked so hard for something. Blood, sweat, and tears, and you get the result. It all pays off. You get that satisfaction, that joy. But have you noticed that all it does is leave you hungry to win again? All you want to do is get that feeling again and win once more. Or maybe you've posted on Instagram and you've hit the big three digits, right? 100 likes. Now, back when I first got Instagram in 2011, 11 likes was the real 100, right? It stopped telling you who liked it, but how many people liked it. You got that sense of love and acceptance. It was great. But the problem is, when we set that benchmark, hit that target, all it does is set a new measure of popularity that we think we have to reach. And all we do is crave that feeling, crave that acceptance more than anything else. And I don't know about you, but I often look at celebrities and famous sports stars and I think, man, that is the life. You're famous for doing what you love, you're rich, you can do whatever you want. It seems great. But why is it every second day we hear about yet another famous person who's cheated on their partner, who's divorced, who's addicted to drugs or alcohol, who's gone into debt, who's committed suicide, who's even gone to jail? It's because it's not enough. Even for the rich and powerful in our world, these people who seem like they've got everything, all the money and wealth and comfort and success in this world is not enough. And so you need to know that whatever you're working for, whatever you're looking to for your satisfaction, it will never satisfy you. It will never meet your deepest hunger and need. And that takes us to our second point, the right way to respond to Jesus. See, the reason the crowd in John 6 missed the point is because they were looking at the sign, not what the sign was pointing to. Now, last year, I got to live a bit of a lifelong dream when I went with a friend to Wimbledon in England. The big tennis grand slam, one of the biggest sporting events in the world. There we are. Now, the only problem was we didn't have a ticket. And so we had to wake up at 4 a.m. that morning to line up and get a ticket. Now, if you think we're crazy, there had been people camping out for 2 days to get tickets. Right? Everyone wanted a piece. And so after lining up at 4 a.m. and 6 hours of slowly moving along, we got to this sign and we were stoked. We were so pumped. But the reason we were so excited is not because we lined up for 6 hours just to see some pretty little letters carved out of green hedges. Like, that would be crazy. The reason we were so pumped is because of what the sign was pointing to. The fact that we'd made it to Wimbledon, we were entering the grounds, we were about to live a lifelong dream. The right way to respond to Jesus is not to focus on the sign, but what the sign is pointing to. Not to focus on the product of the sign, but the person of the sign. And that's Jesus. You see, we read on. He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." And then the people asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Work for food that endures to eternal life. The incredible thing is, it's not work at all. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and he'll meet your hunger and need. Because Jesus came not to meet your material needs, but Jesus came to meet your spiritual needs. If there's any doubt about what Jesus is saying here, he makes it nice and clear later where he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." You see, the bread is a metaphor to show that Jesus is the only one that truly satisfies. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus meets your every need. Not just now, but forever. See, in the same way that Jesus satisfies the crowd's hunger by giving bread to them, Jesus satisfies your hunger by giving his life for you. Because when Jesus died on the cross, heaven met earth. So there's nothing you have to do because it's already done. There's nothing you have to do because the victory is already won. C.S. Lewis, one of the famous Christian writers, puts it this way. He says, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." You were made for more than this. You were made for more than the endless pursuit of success or money or love or power or whatever you're looking for in this life. No, you were made for more than that. You were made for heaven. And when heaven meets earth, all your needs are met. All your hunger is satisfied. Because what can this world offer you that Jesus can't? I mean, you want love? What's more loving than sending your son to die for you? You want acceptance? What's more accepting than being loved just as you are, no matter what you've done? You want power? What's more powerful than defeating death? You want comfort? What is more comforting than having the God of the universe with you every step of your life? And you want success? What's more successful than being on the team of the one who has defeated death and reigns victorious over this earth? You were made for heaven. A place of perfect peace, joy, and love that can never be taken away. No matter what happens in this world, no matter if you don't get that job, no matter if you don't get those marks, no matter if your friends betray you, no matter what happens, you have the promise of life forever through Jesus. Because Jesus came not to meet your material needs, but Jesus came to meet your spiritual needs. And so right now, what are you living for? What are you looking to for your satisfaction? See, the only way you can truly be satisfied is by putting God in the place of the things you're currently looking to for that satisfaction. And like we sung earlier, I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you and know you more. Put your faith in Jesus. Let him be number one over your life. And all you have to do is ask him. And you'll have no more hunger. No more thirst. Everything met through him. And to take this step, I said all you need to do is talk to God and ask him. And so on the screen is a prayer that I'm about to pray. And it says this: Dear God, thank you that through Jesus you satisfy everything I need. I'm sorry that I've been looking to the things of this world to find my worth and purpose. Please help me to put you number one in my life. Thank you that heaven awaits me. These aren't magical words or some special formula, but they are a conversation between you and God where you ask him to satisfy everything you need. Ask him to enter your life, and he promises that when you pray that prayer, he hears you and he will come into your hearts so that he can be number one. And so can I invite you all, as we pray, to bow your heads and close your eyes. Even if you don't want to pray this prayer, just out of respect for those around you, can I encourage you to do so? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you that through Jesus you satisfy everything I need. I'm sorry that I've been looking to the things of this world to find my worth and purpose. Please help me to put you number one in my life. Thank you that heaven awaits me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then you can know that Jesus has heard you, that he wants to satisfy your needs. And so we are so excited for you. And so to help us all respond in a tangible way, can I encourage you to grab that card out and a pen? And there's a bunch of boxes to tick. Can I encourage you to tick the one that you think applies to you? Maybe you're here and you already love Jesus. He's already number one in your life. Can I encourage you to tick that first box? Keep running hard after him. Keep focusing on him no matter the distractions in this world. The second one says, I'd like to restart a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian before and once upon a time you loved Jesus, but some of the things we've been talking about have been distracting you and taking your focus away from him. If that's you and tonight you want to reestablish that relationship and put him number one again, can I encourage you to tick that box? We'd love to help you take a next step. The third one says, I'd like to start a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never heard this message before, or you might have, but never really thought much of it. And tonight, you want to put Jesus number one. Can I encourage you to tick that box? That is so exciting. We'd love to help you again in whatever way we can. The next one says, I still have questions. Maybe you've been sitting here and some of the stuff we've been looking at and talking about, it sounds cool, but you're just not sure yet. And that's okay. We all have questions. And so if you want to tick that box, we've got a course that we're running called Christianity Explained. The details are on the back, but you can head to our website to get those or take a photo of it. We'd love for you to join that course. It's where you can hear more about Jesus and have those questions answered. And so if that's you, please tick that. And maybe you've been sitting here and, you know, it all sounds great, but it's just not for you. And that's okay. We thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here with us. And if there's any time in the future that you would like to find out more, you know that we're here and we're ready to help you wherever we can. So feel free to tick that box as well. And then just fill out your name and your details. I promise you, if you tick that last box, we're not going to hassle you. We're not going to come bang at your door. This is just so we can help out whoever wants to take a next step, help them in their faith, and help them keep putting Jesus number one. As we sing in a moment, we're going to have the chance to put those in the bags that come around. So make sure you do that as we sing later.